Welcome back to the Rest in Culture podcast. I'm your host, Frank Ebersold, and we're glad to have you back today. And today's show embraces the narrative that what we're seeing that's happening in this administration is that our democracy is slowly slipping away from our hands in slow motion. Donald Trump has turned our institutions and office of the president, carefully respected by almost every previous president before him for over 200 years, into the wild, wild west. And in this episode 54, we're going to get into a little bit more of that. But as always, we'd like to kind of kick this whole thing off with a little bit about the Russian investigation. And today, according to Axios, FBI agent Peter Strzok helped pen the first draft of the infamous Comey letter that reopened the investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails just 11 days before the 2016 election, according to emails that were obtained by CNN. And as we know, Peter Strzok is currently at the center of a Department of Justice investigation into text messages exchanged between him and FBI lawyer Lisa Page, which several Republicans claim show bias for Hillary Clinton and against President Trump. But the release of the emails suggests he may have been more aggressive in his treatment of Hillary Clinton than previously thought. And this is quite dramatic here, folks. I mean, that letter that reopened the investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails just 11 days before the election didn't help Hillary Clinton. So Peter Strzok helped pen the first draft of that. And you know what, Mr. Trump? I think you owe Peter Strzok an apology. I think so. And Special Counsel Robert Mueller is seeking an interview with Mark Corallo, the former spokesman for President Donald Trump's legal team. And according to the Wall Street Journal, Mr. Corallo was hired last spring by Mark Cassowitz, Mr. Trump's longtime personal attorney, whom the president had initially tapped to represent him in the Mueller probe. In July, Mr. Cassowitz took on a lesser role in the president's legal team, and Mr. Corallo later resigned from his post. And Mr. Corallo's resignation followed the revelation that Donald Trump Jr., the president's eldest son, had arranged a Trump Tower meeting in June of 2016 between a Russian lawyer linked to the Kremlin and top campaign aides, including senior advisor Jared Kushner and campaign chairman Paul Manafort. Mr. Corallo had privately expressed frustration over the administration's handling of reports about that meeting, the Wall Street Journal has previously reported. And just this afternoon and early evening, the New York Times is now getting into the mix here on this story. And the New York Times is reporting that Mr. Corallo is planning to tell Mr. Mueller about a previously undisclosed conference call with Mr. Trump and Hope Hicks, the White House communications director, according to the three people. Mr. Corallo planned to tell investigators that Ms. Hicks said that during the call, that emails written by Donald Trump Jr. before the Trump Tower meeting, in which the younger Mr. Trump said he was eager to receive political dirt about Mrs. Clinton from the Russians, will never get out. Well, needless to say, that left Mr. Corallo with concerns that Ms. Hicks could be contemplating obstructing justice. And you know what, Mr. President? I'm going to say iceberg dead ahead. Iceberg dead ahead. And I'm still going to be on the Russian investigation discussion here, but I'm going to take a second for just a second here, folks, and illustrate just how badly this system is rigged today in this administration. And that if we're not careful, the only real way that we'll ever know the truth and all the facts that support that truth through the Mueller special investigation is if we defend our democracy and the desire as a people to allow Mueller to get to that truth in an unobstructed way. And I'm beginning to think that the plot to get Mueller by firing Rosenstein to eliminate the special investigation is getting serious. If Trump can gain control of Mueller by putting somebody else in, he'll do it. And he's trying to do it. So, folks, how afraid are the Republicans about a washout in the November elections that will rebalance control so that one party isn't able to run over Americans with a rigged system? How afraid do you think Republicans are of that? Just consider how they've rigged the system up till now. Just consider a few of these things. it's become a system so rigged that things like net neutrality fall away, so that you and I will end up paying more and getting access to less internet content any day now. A system that's so rigged that many Republicans boldly campaign for a child molester like Roy Moore, and hardly any Republicans say a damn thing. It's a system so rigged that instead of trying to fix health care for all Americans in a meaningful way that would end up costing Americans less and make America stronger in the process, instead of doing that, they try and kill Obamacare every chance they could get. It's a system that's so rigged that Republicans brazenly pass a tax cut that disproportionately benefits the rich. Richard Cordray, the former head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, said this with respect to corporations, the taxes that corporations pay and the taxes that people pay. And I quote, "If you go back and look 50 years ago, individuals paid about 7% of the total and corporations paid 5%. Fast forward 50 years. Individuals still pay 7%, but corporations are down to only paying 2%. Folks, that's a rigged system that Trump has only made worse. This is a system that's so rigged against Americans that they block a Supreme Court justice nomination for over a year and through an election just so they can get their guy, Neil Gorsuch, in the saddle. It's a system so rigged that Scott Pruitt, the director of the Environmental Protection Agency, personally presided over removing any trace of climate change on the EPA's website. Maybe by removing climate change from the EPA website, he'll now claim that he has finally fixed climate change. And it's a system that's so rigged that they bend over backwards, the Trump administration bends over backwards to work with Russia after all the work Russia did with hacking and WikiLeaks to help tilt the election. And it's so damn rigged, we're softening our stance on Russia right now. Right now, we're softening our stance even further with secret meetings just last week with Russia's intelligence services in Washington. The heads of the Russian intelligence services came to Washington last week, with some of those Russians on our known sanctions list, people that shouldn't even be allowed in the United States. They were here. And you guessed it, folks, I think this is happening just in time for the November elections. Just in time. I'm not kidding. I think the system is that rigged that, yes, I believe we're softening our stance on Russia just in time for a beneficial Republican effect in the November elections. And Republicans have got every reason to be afraid, folks, every reason to be afraid that the balance of power will shift in the next election in November. So that's where Devin Nunes and his memo is coming from. It's a natural progression of how this administration is so fearful of both Mueller and his investigation as well as the November elections. And let's put it this way. The Mueller probe recommendations will likely be sent to Congress when he's finished with the probe. And having a Congress that is not rigged by Republicans is something the president fears most when you start talking about impeachment. And here's an example of just how they're explaining this. I'm going to look at Rush Limbaugh and how is he explaining the Nunes memo to his people, his lemmings. And essentially, it's the Republicans, and I'm quoting Rush Limbaugh here, he says, essentially it's the Republicans in the House Intelligence Committee getting sick and tired of waiting because there hasn't been any evidence produced whatsoever on the original claim. It's been over a year. There's no sign the special counsel's winding down at all. So the Republicans, well, let me tell you why they haven't found anything. And they're going to lay out the evidence of how this whole thing is tainted. Well, if little Devin Nunes thinks he's laying out the facts with a document the FBI says only shows facts that support the conclusion Devin was trying to make, then what you truly have is a partisan document that does nothing to lay out all the facts. In reality, the Trump-appointed FBI director was prevented from speaking directly to the House Intelligence Committee, which Devin Nunes leads. He was prevented about speaking to that committee about this document. And Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, is saying that because of how the document was contrived, it would do more damage than good. And folks, I've got a really strong feeling of how the document was crafted here with both he and his staff working in tandem with the White House. So it's no wonder the president is going to release the memo tomorrow, is it? It's no surprise. And Rush Limbaugh goes on to say this, and I quote him, "Remember, there are two attempts that we think we know of to obtain a FISA warrant to surveil Trump. The first one in the first half of 2016 was denied. The second one in October was approved. In the second attempt, that was approved by the FISA judge, the FISA court, named Carter Page as the focal point. Carter Page was a brief, tangential advisor to the campaign. He's been to Russia." So folks, the reason why a federal judge listened to and granted the request for a FISA warrant to surveil Carter Page is that the FBI was able to show a federal judge that they had good reason to believe that Carter Page was actively being recruited by Russian agents. No problem, Rush Limbaugh. I can see how you wouldn't want to view Russia as a problem here, as an enemy. I get that. So in proving my final point that the system is indeed rigged, Trump is likely going to order the release of this Nunes memo. In fact, we know it's coming because he thinks it will help him in his effort to discredit the FBI Mueller investigation and possibly help Republicans hold power in the November elections. They're willing to do anything for that power. But wait, if you've still got any doubts about the system being rigged, there's more. But wait, there's more, like they say on TV. Hang in there and I'll be right back. Yes, folks, the system is so rigged. It's so rigged. Despite Congress passing a vote, a near unanimous vote last August, with only 5 dissenting congressmen against the bill to pass Russian sanctions, Donald Trump is now saying that he will not pass further sanctions on Russia. Not going to do it. Congress voted, said, let's do it. It's law, and Trump said he's not going to do it. He's essentially breaking the law here, folks, by choosing not to follow through with what Congress has elected to do back in August. And folks, it looks like there isn't a damn thing we can do about it. And that's because Republicans hold all the power. And according to a Washington Post article published this week, and of course there's a link to it in my show notes, it goes in to talk about some of the options that you would normally have in a situation. But when the Republicans hold all of the power, we don't have a damn option. But here's what normally would happen in a situation. And our options would normally encompass the following items, the following options. And none of these things are really going to work while the Republicans hold all the power that effectively handicaps our democracy. None of these things would work. But in a normal situation, Congress could sue the president for allegedly breaking the law. But legal experts then say the courts tend to side, obviously, with the executive branch on questions such as these. The second thing that could be done is Congress's main power is the power of the purse. And lawmakers could try to withhold funding from State Department until it implements the sanctions. The third thing that could be done is that the Senate could hold up basically judicial nominees. But as we found out, that's not something they're going to do. They only do it to Democrats. The fourth thing that they could do and won't do is that Congress could hold hearings designed to criticize and even embarrass the Trump administration about this decision. And we know that's not going to happen. So this is why we need to rebalance the power in Washington, folks. I mean, we're going down the drain here with the Drano man if we don't change this, and real quick. And I keep saying that these aren't normal times, and we need to balance the power in Washington this November away from that rigged system that the Republicans are wallowing in at the moment. And as we know, the Russians have meddled in our election. We know darn well. And they're trying to do so anywhere else in the world they think that they would be at an advantage to intercede and inject into an election. So why wouldn't we elect to press for the sanctions against Russia that Congress voted for back in August when the president signed the damn bill? Why wouldn't we? The meddling by Russia continues to this day, and looking at the Hamilton 68 web project that I've mentioned in past episodes, you can see for yourself that the Russians are still invested in Facebook ads, other internet ads, and promoting fake news. They're still doing it. They're still hacking. And folks, this is never going to stop. Not today. It's not going to stop tomorrow. It's never going to stop. And they're, as we know, they're even looking at hacking the Mexican elections. And we can see this, actually, starting to take its effect. They're looking to just intercede anywhere there's an election. It's insidious. It's like a cancer. And this is the reality of the world we call home today. This is the reality of it. And we've got to deal with it. So, you know, please help me understand that with Russia being our number 30th trading partner down on the list, there are 30 other countries that we trade with in a more significant fashion than Russia. They're number 30 as far as our trading partners go. And with all they're doing today and have done in the past to meddle in our democracy, why in the hell wouldn't we sanction them? What do we got to lose? We've got nothing to lose except that we have a president that's been hell-bent on placating them for some ungodly reason. And this is how a rigged system allows democracy to slip through our fingers bit by bit and day by day. And folks, we're watching it happen in slow motion. If we don't open our eyes and see it, we can't stop it. And here's another story about how we're being cozy with Russia. And just the other day, the Trump administration let a top Russian spy official, actually it was an entourage, it was three of them, visit the United States last week for meetings with the U.S. intelligence officials, even though there are sanctions against these people that typically prohibit them even coming into the United States. The Russian ambassador to the U.S., Anatoly Antonov, said on Russian state TV that Sergei Naryshkin, who was head of the Russian Foreign Intelligence Service, met with his U.S. counterparts about the fight against terrorism, or at least that's what he said it was about. The worst thing about this whole thing, folks, is that we didn't hear about this last week. It seems like it only popped up when the head of the Russian Foreign Intelligence Agency spoke about it on Russian TV. What the hell? They come in here with people that are sanctioned against even coming to the United States. They hold a meeting supposedly to talk about the fight against terrorism, and we don't hear about it until Russian TV talks about it. What did they discuss? Counterintelligence? What else? We'll never know. I mean, the guy has sanctions against him for a reason, for a good reason, yet he comes into the U.S. like it doesn't matter, like a tourist. That's how a rigged system works, folks. That's how it's rigged. And here's another one that kind of ticked me off. And it just shows how crappy and rigged the system is. And I'm just going down this crappy rigged list here, just bit by bit. And here's an article by BuzzFeed that's also in my show notes. And it's about how the U.S. identifies Russia's richest people as oligarchs. And the U.S. identified 210 Russian billionaires and top officials in a sweeping list required under last summer's sanctions law. And they did that with the help of intelligence, U.S. intelligence. And it underlined those people in that list who aren't being targeted for new restrictions. It identified people that we should put on the list. And the highly anticipated document, which was mandated by Congress over the White House objections to punish Russia for an alleged meddling in the 2016 election, had fueled alarm in Moscow, and it threatened to further escalate tensions between the Cold War rivals. The Treasury announced the list just ahead of a midnight deadline, emphasizing it doesn't mean those listed meet the criteria for designation under any sanctions program. And even Vladimir Putin was joking that it was offensive that he wasn't included in the list. And he said that he was going to refrain for the moment from implementing serious retaliatory measures that it has prepared. And in the weeks ahead of the release of the oligarch lists, Russian tycoons and officials had shown growing concern about the possibility that they could trigger a new wave of tensions and possibly dissuade banks and other institutions in the US and Europe from doing business with them, which is exactly what the list should do, isn't it? Well, the 96 tycoons match the list of billionaires that was published by the Russian edition of Forbes magazine last year. The list that the Treasury Department put out matched the list of billionaires published by the Russian edition of Forbes magazine. Along with 114 officials and state company heads, they were compiled based on objective criteria drawn from publicly available sources, the Treasury said. So folks, there's an example. There's another way that the system is rigged. This list was supposed to be compiled by the Treasury under Steve Mnuchin, or what is his name? Mnuchin? Mnuchin? It was supposed to be compiled by the Treasury under his direction as mandated by Congress as a part of the sanctions that they passed back in August, which Trump isn't going to allow. Wouldn't you just think for a second that Steve Mnuchin would have basically consulted with our intelligence agencies and the list and taken that list of the 210 Russian billionaires identified by our intelligence agencies and top officials as a starting point? Nope. He doesn't do that. Instead, he just does a cut and paste from Forbes' richest Russians list. You got to be kidding me here. This is how the system is rigged, folks, once again. This is how they do it. The Trump administration is making a mockery of the sanctions and list of Russians that was supposed to be a part of those sanctions. What do they have to gain from this? We evidently don't know the whole story, but that's how it's supposed to work. When the system is rigged, isn't it? That's how it's supposed to work. Well, going back to Rush Limbaugh here, we're going to break off for a second on that other story. But, you know, Rush Limbaugh, he thinks the market fall that we had just the other day. Yeah, he thinks that market fall was a liberal plot. And to quote Rush Limbaugh, he says, "I'm not saying that I know this with ontological certitude, but I'm just going to tell you that I would not be surprised at all if a bunch of wealthy libs decided to take some profits yesterday and to create the stock market plunge so that Trump doesn't have a roaring stock market on the night of his State of the Union address. And once they take their profits and the prices of the stocks go down, they repurchase them at cheaper prices and make some more money." You know, Rush, God, what a nut job. Good Lord, it's endless with you. Well, folks, guess what? Surprise. I got a little surprise for you here, because the tax bill reduced government revenues. You know, the one that they just passed? Congress has got to act to raise the debt limit by early March now, instead of as late as April that they were planning on. And that's according to the Congressional Budget Office. They said that today, according to Bloomberg. And like I said, folks, back when we were talking about this tax cut, just wait. The Treasury runs low. You probably won't hear anything until after the November elections. But they're going to come in after programs like Medicare, they're going to come for Medicaid, and they're going to come for Social Security. They're going to squeeze those programs like a dish rag, squeezing money out of them, and we're going to have to fight it. You know we will. So folks, we've got another story here, and it shows that new emails show Scott Pruitt personally directed the EPA's website Purge. You knew that was coming. And I've got a link in my show notes if you'd like to check it out in glorious detail. And during his first few months as head of the Environmental Protection Agency, Scott Pruitt was personally involved in removing information about climate change from the agency's website, according to EPA emails obtained by the advocacy group, the Environmental Defense Fund. And the EDF acquired the emails through a Freedom of Information Act request for documents about changes to the EPA's website pertaining to climate and air quality. And the files center on a website purge that took place on the agency about around April of 2017, according to a news release from the group. And back in August, the EDF also received records of more than 1,900 climate-related web pages and files that had been removed from or modified on the EPA's website. And some of those changes including removing the EPA's web page about the Clean Power Plan, which was an Obama-era policy aimed at reducing greenhouse gas emissions, as well as pages about climate change and climate science. But you can still get archived versions of these pages. They're out there and they're still accessible. So great job there, Scott Pruitt, for a junior deconstructionist just learning the ropes. Good job. Well done. Keep up the great work there, sir. Mr. Pruitt, carry on. I guess we can all say that climate change has been fixed globally by just simply removing it from the EPA website. Well done. Well done. Yes, yes, Mr. Pruitt. Take a bow. Well done. You've solved the problem. Well, folks, I don't know if you know this or not, but, wow, there's some carnage in the Trump administration. And I'm going to report that to you here. But so just watch your step here. There's a little bit of carnage, and I just want you to move carefully. Watch your step. And the Trump administration's top public health official from the CDC, the Center of Disease Control, bought shares in a tobacco company 1 month after her leadership of the agency charged. Basically, that agency is charged with reducing tobacco use itself. The leading cause, as we know, of preventable disease and death, and an issue she had long championed against. Can you believe that? Goodbye. Brenda Fitzgerald, goodbye. Hit the road. So who's going to be next here? Who else is going to be next? Who do you think's coming? But who else but crazy man Dr. Ben Carson? Dr. Ben Carson, come on down. And the Washington Post is reporting on Wednesday night the following information, and I predict you're probably going to be the next one to hit the road. And the Washington Post is saying that Dr. Ben Carson was using his position for private gain. The headline reads that Ben Carson was warned he might run afoul of ethics rules by enlisting his son. And Housing and Urban Development Secretary Ben Carson allowed his son to help organize an agency listening tour in Baltimore last summer, despite warnings from department lawyers that said doing so risked violating federal ethics rules, according to internal documents and people familiar with the matter. Career officials and political appointees raised concerns days before the visit that Carson's son, local businessman Ben Carson Jr., and daughter-in-law and his wife, Ben Carson's daughter-in-law, were inviting people with whom they potentially had business dealings. The documents show that they have obtained through the Freedom of Information Act. And those meetings took place in June, folks, and well, it turns out that according to the article in the Washington Post that a little less than 3 months later, according to federal records, the Centers for Medicaid Services awarded a $485,000 no-bid contract to the consulting company Meridian, whose chief executive is Merlin Carson, his son Ben's wife. Carson Jr. identifies himself online as one of Meridian's board members. Wow. Well, that's how it goes, folks. I mean, when the system's rigged and the folks are screwed up, this is what you get. And I want to thank you for joining us for this episode. And we've got some big news coming out this week, and I'll probably be back to tell you a little bit more about it. But till then, folks, we'll see you then.